Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
We are here to celebrate the women who have birthed a nation, the women who have been with us all throughout our lives, and the women, whether they gave birth to us or not, are worthy of our honor, worthy of our praise. Those are the mothers that we're here to celebrate on today. So if you give me just a little bit of your time, I'm going to be coming to you from the theme, Cherish the Queen. Cherish the Queen. We are still taking his word to the world, amen? And one of the things that Mother's Day reminds us to do or charges us to do is to be mindful of how we take care of our mothers. And I know that not every mother was perfect. I know that mothers have had some shortcomings, and some mothers were growing up as they were raising their children. I know that we've had some times with some of our mothers that we have struggled with. But the Bible says, honor your mother. And it also says, give honor where honor is due. And that is what we are here for on today. So we're going to continue to take his word to the world and let other people see how we cherish our queens. Amen. We are going to be in Proverbs today. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We're going to take a look at the last, Proverbs 31. We're going to take a look at Proverbs 31. It's found in your Old Testament. Bless you. Proverbs 31. I'm still kicking it old school up here. Amen. Got my Bible, turning my pages. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31. And most of you should be familiar with this passage because it talks about the wife of noble character. And while a wife is a role that many mothers play, we're not focusing so much on the wife today. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 31. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you, mother, surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise in the city gate. Isn't that a wonderful characteristic or characterizing of a mother who is also a woman of God? And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Now, my mother was always a mighty and noble woman, but she wasn't always walking in the fact that she was a woman of God. But I thank God that she was still a great mother. Even though she was searching for some things in her own life, she was still a wonderful mother, a loving mother, and a caring mother. And then when she came into the truth of who she really is, she became a mighty woman of God with strength, wisdom, and dignity. Now, we can't talk about mothers without talking about a mother's love. Amen? Are y'all with me? Or are y'all with Mecca? All right, we can't talk about mothers without talking about the love of a mother. Now, first of all, God created Adam first. But he did not design Adam to give birth. So it wasn't just because Adam was lonely, just because the animals weren't fulfilling his needs as company, that Eve came along. See, God has a plan for everything. Are you with me, somebody? So it was always in God's plan and God's design that there would be woman. Amen. That we would come from the rib of Adam and that we would be the ones to carry within our own bodies a living human being. Now, you know, having babies is so commonplace, we don't often stop to think about how miraculous it is that a woman can bear a child. Can carry a living thing that grows from looking like just a little seed into a little seahorse into a baby with fingernails and eyelids and eyelashes and whatnot, all inside of our body. It is amazing, which points directly to God. God is truly amazing. If you ever forget how amazing he is, look at yourself in the mirror and remind yourself where you came from. Because even before the womb, we were among the 2 million sperm trying to get to that egg. I was a mighty sperm. I was an awesome sperm. So were you. Because you made it. You made it to the egg. You were awesome. All them other millions of sperm did not make it. They died off. But you made it to the egg. You ought to congratulate yourself for being awesome. Just a mighty swimmer, just making it happen. I know you don't think about that, but you need to think about that. You started off as a sperm. That's how you started off. And you made it to the egg. And then God took over and began to create in you, in within your mother's womb, not just a living, breathing person. Don't make it that simple. A person with purpose and personality and emotions and likes and dislikes. My sister loves cantaloupe. I can't stand cantaloupe. People that love cantaloupe don't understand my taste buds. I don't understand yours. If you like cantaloupe, because it's not good to me. But God gave me these taste buds and you yours, and they are not the same. This is how good God is. This is how uniquely different each and every one of us are, because it was God who created us in our mother's womb. Even if your mother was a smoker, God can protect you. Even if she was a drug user, God can protect you and keep you in the midst of all of the adversity and the ignorance that mama might have been going through. God had a plan for you. So no matter what she did or did not do, she may not have taken prenatal vitamins or what have you, but you're here today. You made it here today. And you wouldn't have made it if you hadn't come through her womb. That's reason enough to thank mama at least once a year. Because you might have a mama that's not in your life, that hasn't, you know, been the mother you would have wanted her to be, but she did give birth to you. That's reason enough to thank her. That's reason enough to praise God for her. So God created woman not only, see, not just to bear the child, but also that once the child is born, through our body, we can nourish the child. Can I get a hallelujah on that one? Y'all need to be a little bit more excited about what God has done with woman. Because it's as a result of God that woman doesn't have to worry about picking berries and crushing berries and trying to find bottles and whatnot in order to feed the baby, because we didn't always have the conveniences that we have today. God created the woman to be able to give birth without help. Because if you just had to, you could give birth on your own. Many women have done it. I know you like, I got to have my epidural. They didn't always have an epidural for your convenience. So you could sit up and laugh and talk with your friends while the baby is coming out. It wasn't always like that, family. But because God is so awesome, so completely miraculous, he made it so we could give birth and we could raise up a child that wouldn't have to eat anything else until they were at least 5, 6 years old. If that is what was needed in the community that we gave birth in, we would generate enough milk to have healthy children. I know y'all like that Similac and all that other stuff they got going on now. I ain't mad at it. But just know that when there was a need, God provided within the mother. So when we talk about a mother's love, and I'm not hating on the fathers, but come back on Father's Day and we're going to honor the fathers. When we talk about a mother's love, we have to understand that we fell in love with the baby as soon as we found out the baby was in there. And then it went to another level when the baby started moving around in there. Because it makes it real when the baby starts kicking. The mothers are like, yes, uh-huh, it does. It makes it so much more real when the baby starts moving around and when you can determine, oh, this is a foot. Right here, this is the head. Right here, that's the booty. Once you start to feel the baby growing inside of you, unless you are just completely distracted by the world, you have to sit down and thank God for the miracle of childbirth and childbearing, because you remember when your body didn't have that baby living on the inside. And some of us get to thinking about stuff getting stressed out that may not get back in its rightful place again. Don't get quiet on me now. As mothers, you know, we think about that kind of thing as we're going through the process. But a mother's love begins when the baby is in the womb. The mother begins to bond with the child while the baby is still in the womb. And the Bible says that God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God had a plan for this child while the mother is busy loving on the child that she has not yet met, but is growing every single day inside of her womb. So when the child gets to cutting up when they in their teen years, a mother's love is going to see them through those irritations and newer developments, because if the child came out with the attitude of a teenager, there might be a problem. But you see, as a mother, we remember when they were babies, when we held them, when they trusted us, when they held on to us, when we were the best thing they ever knew in their life. We remember how much we were able to give our love to them before they started denying us the opportunity to love on them. So even when the teenagers start to rebel and cut up, a mother can still love that teenager, because we know they gonna get through this. This too shall pass. Trouble don't last always. But a mother's love is gonna love unconditionally, because we know the child is a miracle. See, fathers don't always think of the child as a miracle, especially when they're getting on our nerves. But when they are working our nerves, we go back to when they were safe, when we were one. You know, the Bible says that the two will become one flesh when a husband and a wife get married. But the two become one flesh when a child is conceived in a mother's womb as well. And so a mother's love is going to love the murderer, is going to love the adulterer, is going to love the fornicator, the thief, the liar. That doesn't mean that we have to condone the behavior of our children, but it means that we're going to love them regardless because of who they are to us. We share something with our children that we can't share with anybody else. It doesn't matter how close you get to your husband, how good of friends you have in your life. A mother and a child share a bond that is unique. So today we celebrate a mother's love. That kind of love that said, don't kill my child. Let her have him. Don't cut him in two. Just give him to her. Because even if I can't raise him, at least I know he's alive. That's a mother's love. That's also a mother's sacrifice. And mothers are called to make many sacrifices in this life. Some that we know uphand, like when you get pregnant, there's certain things you're not supposed to do, certain things you're supposed to let go, certain behaviors, amen, that you're not supposed to participate in. And there's others that jump up, and we weren't prepared, or we didn't know that we were going to have to make these sacrifices, but we do. And I'm not here to male bash or hate on the men, but you know, a lot of times when men feel like they can't make it happen, when they can't be the man in their household, they're not able to provide, they're not able to do what they feel they're supposed to be able to do as a man, a lot of men leave. And that doesn't make them trifling. That doesn't make them deadbeat necessarily, because it depends on what they do after they leave. If you don't do nothing, then you're deadbeat. But you have to understand the mentality of a man, and a man is to provide, protect, and produce. And if he doesn't feel like he can do that, he doesn't feel like he's a man. Which is why the men leave. But the women have been created to sing, to support, to invest and inspire, to nurture and to guide. And women are going to stay. Now, I know there's some women that have left, but I'm talking about in general terms, women have been created to stay and to make it happen. So the sacrifice of a mother comes in when I've got to go to work because I'm a single parent. And if I don't work, we don't eat. The sacrifice comes in when I wish I could stay home and raise my children, but I've got to have a babysitter to keep my kids so that we can have what we need to survive. The sacrifice comes in when we recognize that either we gonna get some shoes or they gonna get some shoes. And if you are the mother you supposed to be, you'll go barefoot before you let your children go without shoes. The sacrifice comes in when there's not enough food to go around the table, so you make sure your children eat before you eat. And sometimes mother will go to bed hungry so the babies have some food to eat. That's the sacrifice of a mother. Mother will stay home and keep the house and make it nice and keep it clean and have dinner prepared while the children go out to do what they have to do, whether it be school or going to work or some of both, in order that they might be able to grow into who we dream and desire for them to grow into. Mother may not be able to fulfill her dreams in order to prepare a way for her children's dreams to be fulfilled. That's the sacrifice of a mother. Mother, now I'm going to take it back. In slavery times, instead of allowing our children to be sold to other plantations, mother would send her children to glory and go to glory herself so that she knows at least my babies are with me. And free, yes. That's the sacrifice of a mother. A lot of times children don't understand why mothers do what they do or why mothers get angry when they get angry about certain things. But there's a whole lot that we don't share with our children. There's a whole lot that we can't share with our children because as close as we might be and as close as we might want to be with our children are not our friends. Our children are our children. And there's some things I can't let you in on because it's not going to be of benefit to you if I do. So the mother will hold her peace and keep it to herself before she'll open up her mouth and share what her children don't need to know. The sacrifice of a mother is worthy of praise today. Mothers endure challenge and pain. Look at Mary. Mary knew going in that she had the Son of God in her womb and that one day God was going to call for him to fulfill his purpose on earth. But the good thing about Mary and Jesus is that they were able to be in personal relationship for 30 years. She had him as her son, her baby, for 30 years. She was able to watch him grow, watch him learn to walk, see him say his first words. She was able to watch his personality develop, not to mention the miracles that existed within him that she cherished within her heart. Mary knew that a day was going to come when she would have to let her child go. It's painful when a mother has to let her child go. But it's also painful when a mother refuses to let her child go. Because the natural order of things say you grow up and you move out and you start your own life on your own terms. If we stay with our parents too long, there is some arrested development that tends to occur. We might have a gainful job. We might even have a career. We might have friends we like to hang out with. But if you have never had to pay your own rent or make your own bills or cook your own meals, wash your own clothes, there's some arrested development that has occurred. So after a certain point in time, mother, you've got to let your baby go. And sometimes they don't want to go, and you got to force them to go. But you want them to be prepared when they do go. You want them to know how to wash clothes and clean the kitchen and cook their own dinner. You want them to know how to go grocery shopping and how to get the deals. You want them to learn how to shop for themselves and how to decorate their home and keep their things, you know, nice and neat. You teach them that before they go. But after they gain all those lessons, guess what? It's time to go. And even though we might be ready for them to go, there's still pain that comes along with them leaving. They might have worked our very last nerve, but there's still pain that is involved with their leaving. We might even be relieved that they are leaving, but there's still some pain in our heart because our baby is going on. Now I can't look over their shoulder. Now I can't see what they're doing. Now I don't know what's going on because they've moved on to have their own life. And that's exactly what is supposed to happen. That is the natural order of things. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some have been forced to leave sooner than others, but at some point in time, we've all got to go and make a life for ourselves, and our mothers will pray for us. Our mothers will root for us. They'll be our greatest cheerleaders. Our mothers will support us, and even if necessary, sometimes they'll help finance us if we didn't manage our money the way we were supposed to. Amen. Some, I had to call my mama this week. I'm almost 50 years old. I had to call my mama this week to ask if she could finance me to get through the week, and my mama did it for me. Hallelujah, somebody. You don't ever stop being a mother once you become a mother. But there are challenges, there are pitfalls, and there are traps that the enemy has set for the mother. The mother is a target for the enemy. He doesn't want us to do what we've been created to do as mothers. So he will try to distract us. He'll try to tell us we're lonely. He'll try to tell us that we need somebody that we don't need. We need something that we don't need. He'll try to move us out of the way of raising our children so that the streets can start to raise our children. He'll try to keep us from being able to be that influence that our children need in their lives. Don't you know most people grow up love deprived? Now, I'm not saying love less. Everybody has somebody that loves them, whether it's in their house or outside of their house. But most children grow up love deprived. They don't have the love that they deserve as an innocent child. And let me just say that love without discipline is not love. But discipline without love is cruelty. So when you love your child, you owe it to your child to discipline your child. But because they know you love them, they'll receive the teachings because it's not being cruel, it's being loving. Even if you're mad and you're yelling at them, there's enough love in the household to balance it out. So they know, okay, he mad, but he still, she mad, but she still loves me. And sometimes that's what a child needs after a spanking. And it's nothing wrong. Well, to me, it's nothing wrong with spanking a child, but that's a whole nother thing. And it's also nothing wrong with giving a child a hug after you spank the child. What is wrong is when you give a child a spanking and then tell them what you're crying for. You know what they're crying for. You already know why they're crying. Don't ask them what you're crying for. And then don't threaten, I will give you something to cry about. They already crying. Spank the child and then love on the child so that they know, yes, I was wrong, I was bad, but I'm still loved. We have to learn how to love our children. We have to say, I love you to our children every single day. We need to have some human contact with our children every single day. They deserve to be hugged at least 3 times a day. So you hug them before they go to school. You hug them when they get home, and you hug them when they go to bed at night. And then any other hugs in between is just fine. But a child needs to be loved in order to have confidence when the world tries to eat them up and spit them out. And you who have been in the world know that that's true. If I didn't know I was loved, I wouldn't have gone to Howard University. I would have went to Laney College. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Laney, but I'm saying I would have been scared to go away to school. But I knew that even though I was going all the way across the country, my mama was going to love me. And when I tell you, I worked her last nerve. She couldn't wait to get me. She drove me in a Winnebago van to get me across the country. The van broke down every day. And she, it would never know, okay, we're going to turn around and go, no, we're going to Howard University. I'm dropping her off. She can't come back with me. That's how bad I was working her nerve, because you know when you're 18 years old, you think you know everything. I was one of them. And I had good grades, and I was driving her car all the time. I had it going on. Couldn't nobody tell me nothing, not even her. So she was like, get out. And a beautiful thing happened. A relationship between us developed that we had never had before. And this was back in the day where you had to pay for long distance. We used to talk on the phone every single day. We wouldn't even care how long we were talking. We were developing a relationship of mother and daughter across the country. Send your children away once they know they're loved. See, I felt her love all the way in D.C. Couldn't nobody tell me my mama didn't love me, but if I didn't have a mother that loved me, I would have been scared. I would have been scared to change my major 3 times like I did. I would have been scared to say, I've been called to preach. A woman called to preach? What? I would have been scared. But the Lord saw fit for my call to happen while I was on a phone conversation with my mother. He called me through a conversation on the phone with my mother, the one who has given me the deepest love I have ever known until I had a kid. Because, see, you know, you don't think you can love your mama any, you don't think you can love anybody any more than your mama until you have a child of your own. And then you start experiencing that love that you had for your mama. Somebody else is loving on you that way. Okay, I digress. Are y'all still with me? Because a mother has a lot of responsibility. And we have to make sure that our children are not love deprived. We have to make sure that our children know that they are loved regardless of what the circumstances are. And you know, sometimes people tell me that Kayla is spoiled. And do you know, I take that as a compliment, because that means that my love for her is evident. That means you can see how much I love her. It ought to be able to be seen that you are loved. And I'm not talking about the spoiled, rotten brat. Now, that's just going too far. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spoiled as in loved. And you don't have to have a lot of money to spoil your children. All you need to have is a whole lot of love. And your children will not know that we don't have a whole lot of money. They won't know, oh, I didn't get as much as other people got for Christmas. They won't care, because they'll feel the love that will see them through all of the difficulties that life is going to hold. I'm trying to tell you that we have a responsibility to think about and reflect on and cherish the queens that are in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that the queen is perfect, that the queen does no wrong, that the queen has always gotten it right. It means that because we have a queen, she deserves to be honored. And we need to start seeing our mothers as our queens. When my mother walks in the room, I say, my queen. Here comes my queen. She may not be your queen, but she's my queen. And I know I'm Kayla's queen. And when somebody tries to call her queen, I correct them and say, no, she's the princess. I'm the queen. Because there's a certain amount of life that has to be lived in order to earn the title of queen. There's a certain amount of things that you have to go through in this life in order to earn the title of queen. So I'm here to tell you, family, today that God is saying to each and every one of us to cherish the queens in our lives, because they are a gift from God. Now, you may not be able to get them flowers all the time or chocolates all the time. You know, I don't eat chocolate. Don't give me no chocolates. But you can send a love text. I got a lot of love texts today. I got a lot of love texts today. And, you know, that's just as good as getting a card. Sometimes it's even better because you can just keep it right in your phone. Take some time throughout the year to think about who's been a queen for you and honor them. Let them know you appreciate them. They may be your aunt, your older sister, your godmother, your play mother, your family friend, a neighbor, your teacher, your pastor, whoever it is. Take out some time to let them know they were a gift of God to you. And remember, a mother is willing to go above and beyond what the average person will do. If you take a look at who was there with Jesus while he was hanging on the cross, the majority of the ones that were there for him were not only women, but they were mothers. Mothers have a heart that is deep like a well. There's a lot that we can draw from in order to be able to love unconditionally. So today, we say thank you to our grandmothers. Thank you, Grandma, for everything you've done for me, for the hugs and the love that you've given to me, for the meals that you prepared for me, for how you took me in when my mama couldn't take care of me. Thank you, Grandma, for being there for me when my mama wasn't able to be there for me. Thank you, Grandma, for loving me in spite of myself, for giving me a kind word, for giving me a smile, for giving me a place to lay my head, for putting some money in my card for birthdays. Thank you, Grandma, for loving me when I didn't even love myself. Thank your grandmothers today. We want to take time to thank the experienced mothers, the mothers who have raised their children, who know that you don't raise every child the same because every child is different. I used to have an attitude because she raised my sister differently than she raised me. But as I grew up and matured, I realized Marla's very different than I am. And to raise her the way she raised me would not have met the needs that Marla had as a child. Raise your children individually. Don't have favorites, but know that they need love differently because they each have needs. Thank you to the experienced mothers, the ones we can look up to, the ones we can get advice from, the ones who help us along the way, the ones who teach us how to nurse our children, the ones who help us to know that we need nursing pads if we go nurse our children, the ones who help us to find out the little things about our body that we might not talk about with our friends. Thank you to the experienced mothers who help us to be better mothers for ourselves. And to the new mothers, the young mothers, the inexperienced mothers, I give you this charge. Be responsible for your own child. Know your child better than anybody else knows your child. Know your child better than your child knows themselves. And make sure that you always have an eye on your child. One of my pet peeves in the 21st century is that mothers don't always have an eye on their child. I shouldn't be in a grocery store looking after your child when I don't even know your child. And your child is not where you can have an eye on him. Make sure you always have an eye on your child. Make sure you're so keenly aware of your child that you cannot roll over and smother your child, because you might be able to sleep through a train wreck, an airplane crash. You might be able to sleep through bears running through your house, but your baby says one peep, you up. Young mothers, be so aware of your child that can't nobody tell you about your child. Not to say don't ever take advice. That's not what I'm saying. But you study your child. You ought to know the different cries of your child. Oh, he not hurt. No, he just whining. He's tired. Other people running to his aid because they think he's hurt. No, he ain't hurt. He just whining. He just wants some attention. He'll be all right. You got to know your child that much. Make sure that the world doesn't take better care of your child than you do. Make sure the village doesn't take better care of your child than you do. There's a sense that seems to be missing in a lot of young mothers where they don't have that attachment in the same way that some of more experienced mothers have had. And I'm just encouraging the young mothers, if you don't already have it, to make sure you get it, so that you will always know what's going on with your child. Young mothers, love your children. Hug your children. Tell them I love you every single day. Smother them. Shower them with love, because there will come a day in their life when you won't be able to say it to them, but they need to be able to draw from it because of the well that you have created within them. And to everyone else who has ever been mothered, remember those who mothered you. Reflect on the love they gave you. Resolve to share that love with someone else. Remind yourself when the days get hard that you are loved. Rejoice that there has been mothering in your life. Relate that truth to your own children. Revisit the days when you felt most loved. Refute the devil who will try to tell you that you are unloved. Resist the urge to agree with the devil. Reclaim the love that you once have. Relive the love that you once lived, and revive that part of you that was birthed and grown up in unconditional love. Mothers, you are the air that we breathe, the song that we sing, the fragrance of a flower, the flavor of our favorite food. You are the kiss of forgiveness, the hug of acceptance. You are the heart of the family. You are the soul of our future. Mother, you are grace. You are wisdom. You are truth. You are love. You are unique. You are precious. You are special. Mother, you are a queen.